Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
All medications require eligibility and prescription. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
This is the Fixer Sciatica Podcast.
And welcome back. We are in the third installment of our six-part series on fixing your sciatica pain. I took a two-week break because life was getting a little too hectic and I just need to get all my ducks in a row, but we are back to talk about the directional preference and focusing specifically on actually how to get out of pain. And what's nice about this six-week approach or this six-part approach is that it can be applied to pretty much any non-traumatic injury or pain that is not related to surgery. And so the previous segments and parts that we've discussed include the anatomy of sciatica, how to measure progress, and then today we're actually going to be covering the concept of the directional preference model of pain management. Now, you're probably asking, what is a directional preference? This is simply defined as your body, whether it be your low back, hip, neck, or any other joint that is in pain, which ends up having a preference for a specific direction of movement or position leading to pain relief. In essence, focus on the positions and movements that actually make the pain feel better, no matter how awkward, strange, or weird it can be. This is actually discovered back a long time ago in the 50s and 60s by an Australian physiotherapist, Robin McKenzie. Now, Robin was treating back-to-back patients, and he had a patient who was dealing with pretty bad low back pain. And as he was trying to just get all his ducks in a row, he told this patient to actually get into the treatment room and lay on his stomach on the table. Now, Robin forgot that the patient that he saw just before needed the table to actually put in more of a reclined position, more of like an upright position. Think of it as a beach chair with the head slightly up. So after a few minutes, when Robin McKenzie was actually done with his paperwork, he walks into his treatment room only to realize that his patient with significant low back pain was actually laying face down at the table, but he was bent in the upwards position, kind of as if you were in like the baby cobra. Now, not wanting to panic the patient, Robin decided to just proceed as usual, asking his questions, telling him to get up from the table. And then as the patient got up from the table, he said that his back pain went away and he was thrilled by that outcome. Now, Robin then started to do this position for his patients dealing with low back pain, and hence the McKenzie method was born. And before we proceed to talk a little bit more about directional preference or even just overall the McKenzie method, we need to clarify that the McKenzie method isn't just extension-based motions. He and another Australian physiotherapist, Jeffrey Maitland, identify that the patient's directional preference will tell you exactly what these patients need. So when you hear McKenzie exercises, it's often thought that they include just back extensions and cobra press-ups. But treatment is way more than that, and it is a little complicated, but it's also simple at the same time. So how does the directional preference actually work? The reality is that there really isn't quite enough research discussing the mechanisms on how it works, but here are some of the theories. The first theory is entirely based on anatomy and dysfunction. So if we look at back extensions, the idea is that back extensions will positively influence a herniated disc, and back extensions with the lateral component will positively affect a disc bulge that is pushing back and towards one side. The thought process was the fact that when a disc bulges and it causes pain, it moves backwards and out, and as a result, it puts pressure on the surrounding nerves, causing pain. And the idea is that when you are doing something like back extensions, the force of the back extension movement would actually push the contents of that herniated disc back in towards the middle of the spine, leading to pain resolution as well as a reduction of the herniated disc. Arthritic conditions like foraminal stenosis or facet joint dysfunction would be benefiting from activities like flexion and leading away from the side of pain. Now, this theory does kind of make sense if you were to look at it at a pure anatomical level. And oftentimes when we're looking at the anatomy, we're looking at a skeleton, we're looking at static structures. And unfortunately, given the limited diagnostic accuracy of MRIs and its cause of pain, the theory works until it doesn't. And interestingly enough, there have been some research studies that have actually evaluated a patient doing a back extension with an MRI, and there seemed to be little to no movement of the lumbar disc during this motion. So because of this all, this is actually why it's so important to focus on what your symptoms are telling you or the symptoms' behaviors rather than just treating the MRIs and x-rays. And when I work with the clients that I have, I'm always working on, okay, well, the MRIs are there to make sure that there's no cancers, there's no fractures, there's no sinister red flags. We can proceed with caution, but I'm going to be treating and working with the patient, focusing on what is helping them. And this is also important too for you listeners out there who have had a whole bunch of pain, but were told by your doctor that the MRI and the x-ray that you're given wasn't too serious.
The new Wegovy pill is now available through Weight Watchers. Powerful GLP-1 results in a simple pill at the lowest price available. And with Weight Watchers, you can get doctor support and personalized nutrition programs. See if you qualify at weightwatchers.com. Ad not reviewed or approved by Novo Nordisk.
And they're not really quite sure why you're experiencing the pain. And this is even more important to focus on, again, treating you, how your symptoms are presenting versus just the MRI. Which then brings me to the second theory of how this could work, which makes a little bit more sense to me, and is that is what we call the neurological benefit and movement capacity. And so what does that truly mean? It's a whole bunch of words right there. So I want you to imagine that we all have a designated number of times our body can move in a certain direction before we experience pain. Consider it kind of like your movement allowance. Remember, pain is actually a warning signal asking us to make changes to whatever we are doing. So let's say that everyone has 100 allowable times to round forward at the low back before the pain alarms go off. Now, if you look at the positions that you assume on a daily basis, sitting and bending over, you can actually see how you can blow through those 100 repetitions pretty quickly right out the window. And as a result, you experience pain because you've gone through all your allotted flexion repetitions for the day. But on the other hand, you might actually benefit from back extensions because you have not done enough of those motions throughout the day to cause pain, and your body's probably craving a different change in motion. So in essence, in theory, too much of anything is not a good thing. So you think about it this way: I love carrots, everybody loves carrots, but if you eat too many of them, you're going to turn orange, and it is not a good feeling. And so again, too much of a good thing is not good. So how can we actually apply the directional preference into our sciatica pain recovery process? It's very simple. The first step is actually taking a mental index and figuring out what positions or movements actually make you feel comfortable, good, or better. And I'm giving you permission to know that there is no position that is too awkward or bad to be in. So that if you notice that you're feeling good, even with a slightly twisted and crooked spine, that is totally fine because it's making you feel better. From there, you have to identify how can you replicate that same motion or position throughout the day. Are there any exercises or stretches that produce the same effect, that assume the same shape that you know makes you feel better? Areas that you would want to also look at include your back, your hip, your knees, and your ankles to be able to say, how can we again replicate and do more of those motions that feel fantastic? The next step is actually to look at the positions that increase or produce your pain. And you have to ask yourselves, what do these positions have in common? Are you rounding too much? Are you arching too much? Are you twisted in a way that does not feel good? Do we need to correct that? You have to ask yourself, how can you avoid or modify these positions so that they no longer hurt? Perhaps you might have to look at the position of your hips and knees when you're doing this. So like if you're squatting or picking things up, if rounding forward hurts, you might actually need to work specifically on hip flexion or bring your knee up to your chest. If arching hurts, you may actually need to seek out more hip extension or kicking your leg back and a little bit more abdominal work. And this is important because not all core exercises are created equal. And I do not believe that the plank exercise is the king of all low back exercises. And we're going to talk about that in a future segment in a couple weeks. And if you notice pain with motion, then we are mostly dealing with what is called a faulty movement execution, also known as poor form or you're not moving well. Increasing your mindfulness when moving is going to be key to helping you better understand and manage your pain. So I want you to think that with every activity or stretch that improves your pain, it increases your movement allowance, allows you to do more, reduces your pain, meaning that you can give yourself an opportunity to heal, which allows you to do more with less pain. But the exact opposite happens when you're doing something that actually irritates your pain. This means that every irritating activity that increases your pain or produces it subtracts from your movement allowance and makes it truly painful to move more. This tells us that we need to mitigate all the activities to make us feel better, which may seem extremely obvious. In summary, the directional preference method is a simple and effective way to reduce and get rid of your pain. It does take a little detective work, but you will start to notice patterns that will help you get better. This is something that you can absolutely do on your own, or you can have the help of a physical therapist, doctor, chiropractor, or any other movement specialist. As always, I am here to help you navigate this complicated yet simple sciatica pain space. Next week, we're actually going to be talking about stretching, the pros, the cons, and how to implement them into your practice if you need them. But until then, if you need anything else, you can always reach out to me via my email, info@ifixyoursciatica.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.